And this is Valley Edition. We continue our talk about Valley Farms, almonds, and water. Now in the studio, we have joining us from the Madera County Farm Bureau, Anya Radabaugh. Anya, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
This issue of water in the Golden State and agriculture has been something that we've been talking about in the Valley for a long time, but it really reached national attention last week with Governor Brown's announcement of 25% water cutbacks, mandatory water cutbacks for cities. Some people said, wait a second, why aren't farmers being asked to cut back? How do you and farmers respond to that that line of reasoning in the wake of the governor's announcement last week?
Well, simply put, there's no more water for us to cut back. We've been denied our surface supplies for the last 2 years in a row. We've also received 15% or less from the State Water Project. So the reason that we're even able to survive is basically because we're pumping groundwater.
I think that there's a sense out there in some communities, maybe more so outside of the Central Valley, that they also want farmers to cut back pumping groundwater as well. Do you sense that as well? And is it is that something that – how do you respond to it?
It's absolutely something that we have to balance. It's something that we don't prefer to do. It costs us three times as much to irrigate our crops using groundwater. It's also, as you heard earlier, a bastion for pollution and other things that we have to then filter out of our drip and micro-drip irrigation systems. So it's not an efficient way, and it also is very, very expensive. But again, when you're looking at the total loss of thousands and thousands of acres permanently, that's the gamble that we're trying to avoid having to do.
And we'll bring in farmer Joe Del Bosque, who joins us now on the phone. Joe, how are your orchards and your farms faring right now? You've been in a variety of different crops. What have you cut back on over the last couple of years, and what does 2015 look like right now for you?
Good morning. Well, you know, we have a diversity of crops. We have fruits and vegetables. And of course, we have to try to protect our permanent crops. So when we don't have sufficient water, like we've had really almost every year now for many years, we have to cut back on the annual crops, because that is our smallest loss, is our opportunity loss, with crops like almonds and some of the other permanent crops that we have. We have large investments in the orchards that are established that we are trying the best we can not to lose.
And certainly with investing in permanent crops, it can have a benefit in some cases in consuming less water than some really water-thirsty crops that are planted every year. But also in a drought, you can't fallow those fields, so you have to keep those trees alive. Do you have concerns, Joe, about how sustainable long-term that strategy is?
Absolutely. You know, out on the west side of the San Joaquin Valley in the Central Valley Project, we have had unreliable water supplies now for about 25 years. But we have adapted. You know, for the first, 15 years, we adapted. We went to efficient irrigation systems. We changed crops to higher valued crops. We found ways to hedge our water supply by either finding other sources of water that we could buy water from, maybe other farmers or something like that. And we were thriving. We started planting permanent crops in the late 90s, and we were able to manage. But since 2009, it seems like the game has changed. And our water supply is quite uncertain now. And although we plan our water literally a year or more in advance, next year looks like the end of the road.
Again, we're talking with Valley farmer Joe Del Bosque on our program today, as well as Anya Radabaugh. And Anya, there's a big controversy right now in the media, and statistics that are flying every which way in terms of how much water California farmers use. The LA Times, George Skelton had a column, and he said California farmers use 80% of the water in the state, and cities use only 20%. I understand farmers look at that differently, because that's only a part of the picture from your perspective.
It is, and I think that the big confusion here is about applied use, what's actually being diverted versus what's being pumped from the ground and what actually we're able to save and capture. Almonds have actually, over the last 20 years, reduced their water footprint by over 33%. So we're able to grow more efficiently by increased micro-irrigation and improved techniques that way. But generally, on an average year, when we get average rainfall, agriculture as a whole only uses a third of the state's surface supplies.
And again, the rest of the water picture that's not captured by that 80-20, those statistics is the water that is used in the environment that's saved for environmental uses, habitat, in the rivers. I want to bring in someone with a different perspective on this issue now, Adam Scow. He is with a group called Food and Water Watch. He recently had a piece in the Sacramento Bee that calls for the state to realign its agricultural water supply. Adam, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
How do you look at this issue? You're calling for drastic measures with this drought in terms of reassessing how the valley is farmed, essentially. Is this the point where we need to take that dramatic of a step, in your view?
Yeah, we need to do it in order to sustain our water for all California and for agriculture itself. We're very concerned about the alarming rates of groundwater depletion. If we lose our groundwater, that is it. It took hundreds of years for it to get there. We need to have some sensible limits and some protection as from groundwater right now. There's some legislation that passed last year, but it's not up to snuff. We need Governor Brown and the Water Board to start having some sensible limits on groundwater pumping. We saw a NASA study come out a few weeks ago that showed the Central Valley alone lost 8 million acre-feet of water in just the last 3 years. That is shocking, and we need to have some sensible limits.
What do you think Governor Brown should have done last week? Were you a fan of his action and the mandatory cutback to 25% for cities?
Well, it's inadequate overall. I mean, I understand and have some empathy for the plight of farmers in this drought, but long term, we're going to need to see some shifts in ensuring that our agriculture is in harmony with the state's real water supply. Right now, much of California's water is overpromised. It's based on an unrealistic estimate where the state took the wettest year, one of the wettest years in the 20th century, and said this is the baseline of how much water we can deliver. And it's not true. It's not realistic. We've seen a lot of overplanting, especially on the dry west side, and it's going to be a lot more problems to come, especially as irrigation, we get less snow, things are going to become more erratic and less reliable. So part of the solution may be retiring lands that there just are not reliable water to support anymore. We just need to get things in balance.
And you're essentially calling for the Westlands Water District and other land on the west side to essentially be retired.
We think that could be a long-term solution. Certainly, we think farmers should be compensated for their losses if they are giving false hope, false promises of water that's simply not there. We do have many balances, responsibilities, competition for water. Certainly, California agriculture will continue to be the top producer in the country. There's no question about that. But there's got to be limits. It's got to be within balance with our real water supply. So that can continue.
Joe, I want to turn back to you. Governor Brown went on the Sunday talk shows last week and said he does not want to tell farmers what they can plant. He said that would be a big brother action. And he says that he feels California agriculture is an important part of the economy. Some of the critics say, well, agriculture uses all this water, but it only contributes, they say, 2% to the state's gross GDP. Do you fear that something like that order could be coming in the future, maybe not from Governor Brown, but maybe down the road as winds change in Sacramento? And what would that mean for you as a farmer if you had to ask Sacramento, can I continue to irrigate this almond orchard, or am I allowed to grow anything here at all?
Well, I think that would be very unwise. I think it would be disastrous because it would be like telling people what they could eat. And you have to realize that when farmers plant crops, we're planting what the demand is asking us. And if people are asking us for healthy foods like almonds, like fruits for nuts, which is what we grow in California, then that's what we grow. You know, if you wanted to change what we grow, you go out to the consumers and tell them not to eat those things and maybe even, you know, give up some of the healthy foods that they're eating. And our culture has changed a lot that I've seen in the last 20 or more years,
where people are eating healthier. And those foods are grown here in California, and they're all grown under irrigation.
And one other thing that I have seen here in this drought, and despite the dry conditions we've had over the last years, if you drive around the valley, you still see new almond orchards going in, and not just in established farming areas. I know out where my mom lives, east of Clovis, there's some land, about 80 acres, that was always just pasture land for cattle and was never actively farmed, didn't have a reliable water supply. There was a big well rig that came in last summer, put in a new well, and all of a sudden that 80 acres is now almonds. It's never had that reliable water supply. We're starting to see more of that marginal land be converted to almonds. Anya, is that a concern from your perspective in the middle of the drought that we're continuing to see this growth? I mean, I understand from a dollar and cents point of view why farmers are doing it. You can make a lot of money. But is that a concern, especially in some of these areas that haven't traditionally been irrigated?
Certainly, it's a concern that we're watching very closely in terms of how we plan for it in the future. I think that whenever you're looking at a community plan, for example, we would object if there was a rather large intrusion of urban development into an area that's historically agriculture and vice versa. So it's something that I think that it really important point here is to make that environmental stewardship and environment and economic innovation go hand in hand, that they're not mutually exclusive. So each of them are a necessary survival tactic. Like you said, farmers do make a tremendous amount of profit. But it's also, in the case of where you're describing, that actually was a reliable water supply from the surface that Fresno ID purchased several years ago. So I actually agree with Adam to some extent. There is a major overcommitment and overpromising of adequate surface supplies. And Fresno has done a particularly good job of managing their surface supplies. They've hedged their bets very well in that regard. But there are other areas in the state that quite frankly have not planned for the future and for future expansion of agriculture.
What about this issue in terms of the almond exports? So much of this is going to the international market. That's great for California's economy in that it's bringing dollars in. But in the middle of this historic drought, which we don't know how it's going to end, we see the rain today in the valley, and we certainly hope there's more. But with so much of the crop going to overseas buyers, is that a concern? Should California residents be concerned that California's resources, water in this case, in the public trust, is being essentially used to grow crops for other hungry mouths?
Certainly, and I think that generally, for every $1 billion in export, we create about 10,000 jobs. So the flip side to that, you know, yes, it's not staying local predominantly, but we are keeping the jobs local and the local workforce employed, especially with these permanent crops. There's not as much cyclical rotation of migrant farm workers as there used to be. So we are creating long-term permanent jobs with every amount in the billions that we are exporting. I think, again, economic innovation is something that we've been very, very good at handling. And I think that long-term in the future, we hope to continue to provide that to California.
If you just joined us in Valley Edition today, we're talking about water and politics and almonds in Central California. Anya Radabaugh from the Madera County Farm Bureau is with us in our studio. We also have joining us on the phone Valley farmer Joe Del Bosque and Adam Scow with a group of that is an environmental group, the Food and a Water Watch, that is calling for more curbs on the use of water in the state in terms of its sustainable use with Valley agriculture. Adam, I want to turn back to you. What do you think about not only the growth in almonds over the last 20 years, but specifically in the middle of the drought, we see new orchards going in. Your thought on that, is that a wise move?
I don't think it's for the long term, it's sustainable. There's short-term profit in this. We also see this with a strawberry boom in the Salinas Valley, where we're seeing massive overdrafting of groundwater when we're pumping it much faster than nature can replenish. We're seeing some saltwater intrusion there, and if that continues to get worse, it's going to threaten all of the greens and the amazing produce they have over there. So we got to have some limits, especially right now in this drought. We're going into our fourth year. Driest winter ever. We don't think it's a wise move to continue to plant more almonds and pistachios in the driest parts of the state where there simply is no sustainable water supply, especially right now. I think we could use a timeout on new planting, especially on the dry west side.
And Joe, your thoughts on that. Should there be a moratorium on planting new permanent crops in the drought, or is that also a bridge too far for you and your fellow growers?
Well, I know that that there has been a measure to manage groundwater, and I agree that we do need to do that. You know, there has to be a more sustainable program of groundwater use. As far as surface water for a lot of these crops, so like on the west side, that depend on surface water, the amount of surface water that is being used is less than it was before. So we're not drawing any more from our water supply than we used to. We're actually getting less. So it's, you know, every farmer has his own economic plan, his own model of what will work for him. And as we use surface water and surface water becomes more scarce, the price of water that we are able to buy from other folks is increasing. And that puts a lot of crops out of business. In other words, we have to idle ground in some crops like melons or even asparagus because we can't afford the cost of water for those crops. They can't sustain these kind of costs. Really, the only crop that can sustain these high water costs are crops like almonds.
So in some ways, it's almost a feedback loop. As the water gets more expensive, you're driven to crops like almonds that are permanent, that always need that supply. Is that an accurate assessment in your view?
And these are crops that can afford the higher cost of water. Yeah. And it's, you know, water that we buy on kind of the open market is too expensive now to grow some of our fruits and vegetables. And certainly no row crops like, you know, cotton or so forth. They've been out of the program for a long time. But as costs go up, we have to calculate out what crop can still sustain those costs. And today, almonds are the only one that seems to be able to do that. And that as costs go up, there's less profit, but we have to try to protect those trees because we have a big investment, which we made 15 years ago.
Again, Joe Del Bosque is with us on the phone today. He's a valley grower in almonds and melons and other crops as well, at least in traditional years, and also Anya Radaba and Adam Scow today. Joe, about 3 weeks ago, a water scientist with NASA, Jay Famolietti, said that the state has only about 1 year's water left. Others said, well, that's maybe true for reservoirs, but there's more water in the ground than 1 year. But in your perspective, how long... Assuming that things don't improve with Mother Nature, how long do you think that you can continue to operate as things are right now moving forward without some major change?
For us who depend on surface water, I think he's right. And I think we only have enough water for this year. And I in what I can foresee, I don't see any water for next year. I think he's correct on that part. On the groundwater, there may be more groundwater down there, but as it was mentioned earlier, it's being depleted. And so groundwater is being depleted because of the lack of surface water. When we have wet years like we did only in 2011, not that long ago, we should have saved more water, and it went out to the ocean. We're lacking possibly infrastructure to capture and save more of that water in the wet years. To carry us through some of the dry years. I saw water flowing out of Fryant in 2011 that would probably equaled, I don't know, I think I heard it may have been 1 million acre feet that we lost that year because we didn't have any room to save that excess water.
Again, Joe Del Bosque with us today. Anya, your thoughts on this as we look to solutions. Is there an easy solution from your perspective that can get us through this situation right now? Certainly, farmers talk about reservoirs all the time, but you could start planning for one right now, and it's not going to be here in time for next year. What should be done right now in this immediate near-term future?
Well, we're already looking at different ways that we can improve our current drip systems to essentially save every drop of water. And as was mentioned earlier, we're starting to take stock of what we can continue to fallow, which is in the hundreds of thousands of acres in addition to what we've already done. And that's just to keep food on the table of these farmers' families. I don't believe we're going to have a record almond crop this year or a record grape crush because of the drought.
Yeah. Although last year, table grape crop broke a record, and tomatoes broke a record.
Shocking. Shocking.
Is that a disconnect there from the outside perspective, people looking in the valley and hear farmers saying how bad it is, and then the report comes in that the crops are at an all-time record? Is that a problem?
I actually think it's a testament to our efficiency. And can we be more efficient? Absolutely. And is this a red flag for our efficiency? It should be. And so, again, we're continuing to look at ways to keep the trees and the row crops even at survival mode. But you also saw, conversely, lots of other areas of agriculture that suffered, like livestock. They had to be culled many, many months ahead of their normal duration of life because there was no feed to feed them. So there were other areas of agriculture that suffered mightily.
And Adam Scow, what do you think should be the near-term solution here in terms of managing this situation beyond the long-term things that people talk about? What can be done right now and should be done?
Well, I think the governor and the water board have to take a hard look at overdrafting of our groundwater aquifers. If rates of pumping continue as they are now at very high rates, as NASA showed in their study, we're going to have a problem pretty soon. We need to not just think about the next 2-3 years. We need to think about the next 50 to 100 years of agriculture and water in this state. And things are not sustainable right now. So we need to take some hard looks at this. There are not going to be some easy solutions. We think it is appropriate to retire some farmland where the salt has choked up the soil and there's not a good water supply. Let's compensate farmers. Let's save water for the future.
Do you think the groundwater legislation is not enough and not fast enough in your view?
That's right. It's not. Basically, I told local agencies to come up with a plan in 5 years, and maybe 5 years after that, the state would take a look and see what needs to be changed. As I said, the current rates of pumping, I don't see any rain or snow or very little on the horizon that's going to make a difference. Things are probably going to get worse before they get better. So we're going to have some sensible limits. And this is not an easy situation. I certainly empathize and sympathize with farmers who are suffering from these problems. But the state has to get its water house in order, and that has to start now.
And I'll give Joe Del Bosque the last word. Joe, as you look forward not only to this as this drought continues, but look forward beyond that and to the next generation, do you have concerns about what the future holds for your family and your farm going beyond the near term?
Absolutely. You know, the short term is our biggest concern right now because, as I mentioned earlier, I only foresee that we have water for one more year. If we don't find a way to get more surface water next year, there's going to be a disastrous effect on farmers on the west side, which is a very, very rich and productive area. And so I know that the state board has some huge challenges in balancing water between people, farms, and the environment. But, you know, I'm hoping that they will be able to find a way to let sufficient quantities of water come to the farms in the San Joaquin Valley to keep them alive, because they do provide an important source of food for Americans. They provide inexpensive food for Americans. And I think as fruits and vegetables and nuts gets more scarce, and more expensive, it's going to be our poor and working people who are going to suffer from being deprived of those foods.
We've been talking with Valley farmer Joe Del Bosque, who grows almonds, melons, and other crops on the Valley's west side and throughout the Central Valley. Also, Anya Radabaugh from the Madera County Farm Bureau and Adam Scow from the group Food and Water Watch. This is Valley Edition.